It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy, oh boy. Hello, hello. Welcome, welcome, one and all. It is Monday, March the 6th, 2023. And, well, you're here just in time for News to Me. I'm going to be your host, DJ Marcus, like I said in the recording there. And, boy, do we have a lot of news going on. Shout out to Calm. If you want to hang out in Calm and chat during the show, all you need to do is SSH over to sdf.org. And once you're there, go ahead and launch Calm, C-O-M, press Enter, press G for Go To, and then type Anon Radio, all lowercase, all one word, boom. You'll be hanging out with people like Yusuf Edeped, and the Z-Man, Zoroff, and Ratsu, Stug, X1, all sorts of people going to be hanging out in Calm. So check it out. Yusuf Ed keeps typing single letters, I think they must be new. Welcome to SDF and to Calm. Let's see. All you gotta do is press, what is it? Nope, you press U. Oh, capital U, that's what we do. Then we just say, boop, boop, boom. Yep, created on March 6th at 10:39. So yeah, welcome, welcome. Welcome to Calm and welcome to SDF. All right. Well, let's get going. There's a lot of news. First up, Al-Qaeda's leader gave in Northern Africa gave an exclusive interview to France 24, which I thought was very interesting. Algerian Islamist Abu Obeidah Youssef al-Anabi, the current leader of Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb, or AQIM, granted an exclusive interview to France 24, in which he officially confirmed his group is holding French journalist Olivier Dubois, who was kidnapped in Mali in 2021, and discussed the role of jihadism in the Sahel region. As France 24's terrorism expert Wassim Nasir explains, it took a year from requesting the interview to securing the responses, with the militant leader imposing many conditions, including the submission of all 17 questions in advance. Nasser said he requested a stamped audio file from the militant group so he could be certain it was al-Anabi who was speaking. When asked whether AQIM was planning attacks in France, al-Anabi said his group's dispute with France was limited to local issues in the Sahel and wider Africa. He went on to criticize Western leaders for failing to acknowledge that AQIM's interests were exclusive to Africa. The AQIM leader's admission was the first official confirmation from his group that it's holding Dubois, but he declared AQIM had lured Dubois into being abducted. He was kidnapped in April 2021 as he was trying to interview a local Al-Qaeda commander. Let me see if I can get this link to you. That shows an activity of jihadist militant groups in the Central Sahel region there. Let me get that link to you here. Boop. Hey, LD Beth, welcome, welcome. Thanks for tuning in. Glad to see you there. All right. So if you go to sdf.org/l/mj, this is all lowercase, sdf.org/lima/mike/juliet, sdf.org/l/mj. If you go there, it'll take you to the France 24 graphic showing the Al-Qaeda and Islamic State and JAS groups where they've been active and having clashes. So I thought this is interesting because it's helpful to understand where the heck everything is. The left-hand side there, the furthest left, that's going to be... we don't really see the ocean in this picture. There's a small little bit near the map. It shows a map showing Mali and Niger and Benin, Togo, Burkina Faso. As we talked about before, the shape of Africa and the geography is interesting. But let's see. Mali. You get a good map here. So the Sahel region is kind of that region in between the desert and the rest of the continent. So that's that kind of dry area in between. Coast to coast, or coast to shore, and is a region defined as the eco-climatic and biogeographic realm of transition between the Sahara and the Sudanian savanna to the south. And it's made up of northern Senegal, southern Mauritania, central Mali, northern Burkina Faso, the extreme south of Algeria, Niger, the extreme north of Nigeria, Cameroon, and Central African Republic, central Chad. So yeah, it cuts all the way across the regional boundary there. Anyway, I just wanted to be sure we were all on the same page. And I just thought it was interesting. It's one of those things. It's like Al-Qaeda is not super big news. I wanted to see what this guy sounded like, though. Let's see if we can hear it. It might not let me because I block a bunch of ads. A lot of times that means that it... Let's see. Oh, we're going to try one more time. Pause. And who's the other one? Oh, here we go. All right. Let's see. All right. So I've disabled my two biggest ad blockers. Let's see if that works. Nope. Okay. Well, I give up. France 24 is one of those sites where it's like they provide good journalism a lot of times, but it doesn't mean that their writers are good people, but their tech is bad news, man. They want to spy on you so hard. All right. Well, let's get on into the death and destruction that's going on, because there is a lot of it, and that took way too long. I'm sorry about that. First, Cardiff car crash. 3 of missing 5 found dead. Police searching for 5 people have found 3 dead and 2 injured 2 days after they went missing following a night out. Gwent police said it believed the group had been involved in a car crash. They were seen about 2 a.m. on Saturday in Cardiff. The family of were named on social media. Family and friends made repeated appeals to find the missing group over the course of the weekend, with the mother of one of the girls saying she had been told to stop contacting police for updates. The car the group were last seen in was found by a member of the public early on Monday on the A48 in St. Mellons. I don't know where that is. The road is a major route into Cardiff, and the car was found near a busy roundabout close to a garden center. One of the survivors is one of the two in the hospital. Okay, that makes sense. A long police cordon marked out the crash scene at what would normally be a busy stretch of dual carriageway connecting Cardiff and Newport. Just below the slipway, down a small bank, is a wooded area where the car was discovered. Officers had been working there, hidden from view by the trees, recovering the bodies and investigating the scene. One resident said the area was hard to reach on foot and was in an area where no one walks. The car was removed on a truck just before 1300, with the vehicle covered over by police, and the road reopened an hour later. Police will be trying to establish exactly when the car crashed there following the last sighting of the group, and why it took until the early hours of Monday for it to be discovered. Near the scene, people have been laying flowers. Hey! Shout out to Tobe and the tea. Always good to have fresh tea for the show. Alright, so yeah, so there was a car crash, but they found the bodies. If you want to check out the BBC graphic, you can find it at sdf.org/l/mk. That's sdf.org/MikeKilo. Just go up one letter from the last graphic we talked about, and you'll see the crash site and a map of where it is, where in Wales it is, all that business. All right. Well, let's keep it moving, boys and girls and everyone. All of y'all, because we gotta keep moving. There's lots of news. 4 Americans were kidnapped from a minivan in Mexico. 4 Americans were kidnapped in northeastern Mexico, who crossed the border to buy medication, according to President Andrés Manuel López Obrador. The U.S. citizens were driving through Matamoros in Tamaulipas State in a white minivan on March 3rd when a group of unidentified gunmen shot at them. They were then placed in a vehicle and taken away. The U.S. officials have not confirmed the Mexican president's statement nor identified the missing Americans. There was a confrontation between groups and they were kidnapped. The incident has also resulted in the death of an innocent Mexican citizen, according to U.S. Ambassador to Mexico Ken Salazar. We have no higher priority than the safety of our citizens, the ambassador said. Officials from various U.S. law enforcement agencies are working with Mexican authorities at all levels of government to achieve the safe return. Mr. Lopez Obrador said during a news conference on Monday that he had been in contact with the governor of Matamoros over the weekend about the kidnappings. I think it will get resolved, Mr. Lopez Obrador said. That's what I hope. A Mexican official told Reuters three men and one woman were kidnapped. Tamaulipas is one of six states in Mexico that the U.S. State Department advises travelers not to visit due to crime and kidnapping. The FBI is seeking help from the public and offering a $50,000 reward for information leading to the return of the victims and arrest of those involved. The Americans were driving in a van with North Carolina license plates, according to the FBI, which didn't identify the U.S. citizens. Matamoros is located directly across the border from Brownsville, Texas. According to the State Department, organized crime, including gun battles, murder, armed robbery, carjacking, kidnapping, forced disappearances, extortion, and sexual assault, are common along the northern border, including in the state of Tamaulipas. Criminal groups have targeted buses as well as cars driving through the state. That's kind of the sad reality. If you want to live, you have to go to Mexico to buy the drugs to keep you alive. But while you're down there buying the drugs, you may be killed or kidnapped by people who are trying to get your money. It's frustrating and sad there. And since we're in Texas, a Texas mother has been charged with murder after a caseworker finds five children stabbed, three fatally inside the home. A mother in Texas is facing a trio of capital murder charges after she allegedly stabbed five of her children, killing three of them. The attack took place on Friday in Italy, Texas, approximately 40 miles south of Dallas. People in Texas usually would call it Italy, Texas. Shamaya Hall, 25, has been charged with three counts of capital murder and is being held on a $6 million bond. Child Protective Services had previously put Ms. Hall's children under the guardianship of another relative. Agency officials began to suspect that Ms. Hall was having unsupervised visits with her children, and so CSP workers were dispatched to her home unannounced. The CSP official's hunch was confirmed. Her children were inside the house with her, but their arrival also triggered Ms. Hall's alleged attacks. She allegedly stabbed all five of her children, whose age ranges from 13 months to 6 years old, or 13 months to, 72 months, I guess, if we're using months to identify age of people, from 13 to 72 months, killing her 60-month-year-old twins and her oldest child, according to authorities. Wow, that's wild. She was able to kill the bigger ones, but not the littler ones. Police found the bodies of the children while searching Ms. Hall's home. The 48-month-old and the 13-month-old were life-flighted to nearby hospitals to have their wounds treated. We are shocked by this incomprehensible tragedy, and already working with law enforcement to investigate how this happened and why. Ms. Hall has had previous violent episodes in the past, according to court documents. She was arrested in 2017 for aggravated assault after she was accused of stabbing her sister's boyfriend. Her half-sister, Troy Shea Monty Hall, was arrested in 2021 for allegedly stabbing her 84-month-old daughter to death. The school district in Italy, Texas, issued a statement confirming counselors would be available on Monday. So this sounds like what had happened is her kids were taken away and were staying with a relative. She went and got the kids back and had them staying with her. When the CPS showed up, presumably to take the kids away, she tried to kill her kids instead. So I imagine that she had a kind of a mental problem where she didn't believe that she could survive without her children, or she didn't want anyone besides her to have her children, something like that. It's pretty sad that it happened like that. We'll see how this, that's probably all we'll hear about it, but pretty sad. Oh my gosh, we're already halfway through and we haven't even gotten through all the death and destruction yet. Jeepers, creepers. And then this guy.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music. Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
We're going to get there. Don't worry. Let's finish up with the death and destruction, though. Let me get here. Oh, wait. Is that the end of the death? Might be. Bitcoin, births. Okay, cool. All right. Well then, let's talk about food real quick because, oh man, I got two European food stories for you. Yeah, rats. It's what does drive a mom to do that? It's just pretty terrible. Hey, X1, welcome, welcome. French retailers agree to cap food prices in a bid to curb inflation. The French government said Monday that it had made a deal with major retailers to cap many food prices in a bid to make inflationary pressures easier to bear for consumers. Retail groups would cut prices for a wide range of foodstuffs, the choice being left to their discretion to the lowest possible level until June. This would turn April to June into an anti-inflation quarter, he told reporters after meeting with retail business leaders. Retailers had agreed to bear the cost of the initiative, which Le Maire said would amount to several hundreds of millions of euros. Food inflation was 14.5% in February, year-on-year, according to the National Statistics Institute. Most large food retailers in France participated in the talks, though market leader E. Leclerc stayed away. "I'd rather be cheaper across the board," said CEO Michael Edouard Leclerc. "I didn't want wait for a public meeting to lower prices," he told the C News channel, adding that the agreement could give the impression that retailers will make up for this by charging more for their other products. Some consumer associations were also skeptical of the anti-inflation initiative, which comes on the eve of another mass protest and strike day against the plans to reform the retirement system. So, very troubling there, or could be. We'll see if manipulating the market this way works in France. Might turn out to be cool. And, oh wow, the price of sugar has doubled where X1 is. Wow. Yeah, it's getting prices of foods are really fluctuating quite a lot. And in news, speaking of sugar, Toblerone is to remove the Matterhorn Mountain Peak from its packaging when some of the chocolate's production is moved from Switzerland to Slovakia. The pyramid-shaped bar, which mirrors the Alpine Peak, will undergo a labeling revamp and include its founder's signature. U.S. firm Mondelez said, "Hey, Mondelez International was a big win for me in my 401k a decade ago." So, hey, look at that. U.S. firm Mondelez said the image of the 4,478-meter mountain will be replaced by a more generic summit. Strict rules have applied about Swissness since 2017. They state the national symbols are not allowed to be used to promote milk-based products that are not made exclusively in Switzerland. For other raw foodstuffs, the threshold is at least 80%. Hey, Connor H., welcome, welcome. Let's go Belgium. Price of sugar. I always forget. I don't want to assume. All right. In a statement to the BBC, Mondelez said it was moving some production outside of the country to respond to increased demand worldwide and to grow Toblerone brand for the future. I kind of want to go buy a bunch of Toblerone now while it still has the mountain on it because, oh man, it's good, but I don't want to eat a lot of it. I wonder if you can freeze it for a long period of time or something. Anyway, that's what's going on there with food stuff. I'm going to play a short, well, you know what, we don't have time for it. Sorry guys, no song for you. Or you know what, maybe we get a short song. Do we have a short song? Maybe. Maybe we do. Maybe we don't. Let's check it out. Let's click our liked songs and look for a short one. Oh, here we go. This is a 2-minute long song from Blaze Foley called "I Should Have Been Home."
Dozen lone rangers don't know who they are. The waitress was spinning, my head was ajar, and I should have been home with you. Saw a reeling old drunk man dancing around, thought his gray whiskers still must have been brown, and I'd a Lupino wouldn't keep her dress down, and I should have been home with you. Thank you. all of them all sound like the rest. Some girls look pretty, but you were the best. That's why I came home to you. Got home about daylight, I've been gone too long. Woke up at 11 and I saw you were gone. So I drank lots of coffee and I wrote you the song. I wish I'd have been home with you. I wish I'd have been home with you. I wish I'd have been home with you.
Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access UNIX system.
That's right. You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF. And SDF, well, that, my friends, is powered by you. So thank you so much for being here, hanging out and listening, all of that good stuff. Thanks for hanging out. Please stick around at 1930 UTC every goddamn day is the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe, a fun show that you want to stick around for and listen to. It's always a good time. After that, at 20 hours, is Mix Remix with Harry Larry. It's a fun, loosely licensed music show. And then there's a lot of other stuff going on. Also, at midnight, or Tuesday at 00 UTC, is Stoke Sauce, Stoke Sauce Radio. Check that out, along with Free Flow. And, of course, Open VoIP happens all the time. Oh, and tomorrow at 0800, if you're listening now and you're in a plus time zone, I hope you get some good sleep in a little bit, but Chinese pop music with King Feng, King Feng, will be at 0800 hours on Tuesday, so check that out. Hear now the words tomorrow at 1500 hours. Well, I'll mention that again tomorrow, but check it out. And welcome, Tobe. Welcome. All right, let's talk about some planes, because there's some plane news and travel. Planes and boats. We talked about planes, trains, and automobiles last time. We talked about trains and automobiles. Now we're talking about cars and planes and boats. Southwest plane makes emergency landing in Cuba after a bird strike. A Southwest U.S.-bound flight was forced to make an emergency landing after birds struck the plane's engine. Southwest Airlines is one of the big domestic carriers in the U.S. It was not just a plane flying Southwest, because Cuba is to the east of most of the... It would be very hard for a U.S. plane going Southwest to get to Cuba. Anyway... The plane, flying from Havana to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, filled with smoke following the collision shortly after takeoff on Sunday morning. No one was injured in the incident. The pilot safely returned to Havana, where customers evacuated the aircraft via slides. Video of the flight on social media showed passengers on Southwest Airlines Flight 3923 panicking and children crying as smoke filled the cabin and pilots made an emergency landing. Nobody could breathe, Mark Antonio, a passenger on the flight, told NBC's Early Today show. It was burning so much in the lungs. People were just screaming, kids were screaming. The Boeing 737 was transporting 147 passengers and 6 staff members. Passengers were in good condition after evacuating the plane, according to the Cuban Aviation Corporation, a state-run Cuban outlet. Travelers were taken to an airport terminal and were expected to be put on a different flight to Florida. So, MH Cat points out, the birds are striking too, Britain is going to be screwed. Well, he said fucked, but I try not to curse too heavily on the news, but that's what's going on there. instant chicken soup. That's a good one, Stug. All right. So then, not in that same plane, but in a plane nonetheless, CNN anchor Casey Hunt has revealed she gave birth on the bathroom floor of her, wait, what? Oh, I thought this was in a plane. This is at her house. That's much less exciting. Anyway, I'm sorry. CNN anchor Casey Hunt has revealed she gave birth on her bathroom floor of her home after a shocking 13-minute labor. She's an anchor and chief national affairs analyst at the network. The newborn was born weighing 8 pounds, 4 ounces, and caught both of her parents by surprise with her sudden arrival. They didn't even have time to call 911. So, that's just kind of what's going on there. And a couple on a honeymoon sue tour company for abandoning them on a sea. A California couple has filed a $5 million lawsuit against a tour operator in Hawaii. They allege abandoned them in the ocean during a snorkeling trip, forcing them to swim half a mile back to shore. Elizabeth Webster and Alexander Burkle were on their honeymoon in September 2021 when they booked a snorkeling excursion with the company Sail Maui. According to court documents seen by NBC, the newlyweds formed part of a 44-passenger group that set sail around 10 a.m. and was scheduled to return around 3 p.m. Once aboard, the captain informed participants that the boat would remain anchored in one location for about an hour before moving on to a second dive spot. The couple, who were experienced snorkelers and had visited Maui several times, said the captain did not give a specific time everyone should be back on the boat. They also claimed that they were not given instructions on how to get back on the boat or what to do in case of emergency. All 44 passengers entered the water at around 10:50 a.m., with Miss Webster and Mr. Burkle swimming north as instructed by the captain. Throughout the excursion, passengers returned to the boat at different times. Around 11:50 a.m., the pair began to make their way back to the boat, but after swimming for about 15 minutes, they realized they still had not made progress toward the boat. The water was choppy, and the plaintiff started swimming more aggressively. At approximately 12:20 p.m., after another 15 minutes of aggressive swimming, the vessel was clearly farther from plaintiffs than it was at the last time they had checked. Despite signaling to the boat and calling for help, the vessel then moved on to its second location, leaving the couple stranded in the ocean. They attempt to swim in the direction of the boat, but began to panic as the water became deeper and they struggled to swim in ocean conditions. About half a mile from the shore, the pair feared they could drown. They realized the vessel had left them and wasn't coming back for them, and they decided their only option at that point was to return to shore. Plaintiffs were extremely fearful and nervous about the decision because they were told in the safety briefing explicitly not to swim to Lanai and that shallow reefs were in the area. The couple reached the shore around 1 p.m. where they were discovered dehydrated and fatigued by a local resident. The suit also alleges the crew miscounted everyone who reboarded the boat, with people on the tour claiming that three attempts to do a head count came up with 42 and 44 passengers, respectively. Passengers were also walking around and not instructed to remain seated while the counting was taking place. Let's see. We'll see what happens there. Ugh, this story took way too long to read. Rich people doing rich people shit got in trouble. Carbon components are blamed for the Vega rocket loss, the fault that resulted in the loss of Europe's premier small rocket, Vega C, during a launch in December, has been identified by investigators. The problem was a failure of a protective material that was lining the throat of an engine nozzle. It led to a drop in combustion pressure and acceleration. When it became clear that it wouldn't make it to orbit, a self-destruct command was sent, which also annihilated the satellites on board. There are two high-resolution Earth imagers built by the aerospace company Airbus on board. Twitter insiders are saying they can't protect users from trolling under Elon Musk. Twitter insiders have told the BBC that the company is no longer able to protect users from trolling, state-coordinated disinformation, and child sexual exploitation following layoffs and changes under the new owner. Exclusive academic data plus testimony from Twitter users backs up their allegations, suggesting hate is thriving under Mr. Musk's leadership, with trolls emboldened, harassment intensifying, and a spike in accounts following misogynistic and abusive profiles. And we've only got a few seconds to go. Stick around for the Dubious Goals Committee with Tope. I just want to mention no damage reported at the Akio site after Turkey earthquakes. This is the nuclear power plant there in Turkey. So construction is continuing, and everything looks good there. And production is underway of a prototype pump unit for a lead-cooled BREST OD-300. Assembly has begun for the prototype of the main circulation pump unit for the lead-cooled fast neutron reactor being built in Russia. So very cool. All right, enjoy the Dubious Goals Committee with Tope. Shout out to Jay Lamoth and Zero.
7, 6.